talking about the Phoenix Suns and how they look in this moment now as the sixth seed heading into the playoffs next weekend, starting a series with a team they've dominated in the regular season, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Here to talk about it with us from ArizonaSports.com, Kevin Zimmerman joining us in studio. KZ, good morning.
Hello. Not how we thought we'd be talking about the Suns this morning, huh?
No, we were just joking off the air too. It was like, just when you're ready to call it a year, they do something and make you believe again. And here we are, because what we saw, I think, in the late stages Friday night and then for 48 minutes yesterday, that'll make a lot of people believe again. And Michael Wilbon has killed the Suns all year. Mm-hmm. He's believing again.
I'm still skeptical, because every time we reach this point, there's always the next game. It's just a clunker, or there's another bad quarter. But like, if you look at the totality of this team, I mean, it's, yeah, they were a couple of wins away from this not being a conversation about being in the play-in at all, and a couple more wins from saying, like, you get home court and that kind of thing. So I think, you know, it's super competitive conference this year. If it wasn't, if they were in the East, for example, this wouldn't even be a worry. It'd be talking about, okay, they look a little bad, shaky. Will they get to the, you know, finals or conference finals? In the West, that's not a given. Nothing's a given. It's a super interesting lineup. If you just look, everything seemed to fall in their place just on matchups for them to actually have a deep run. When you look beyond even one series against the Wolves, but we can start there with the Wolves in that matchup.
Yeah, let's start there. Tell us about it, because it does look very favorable, and it does because we've all seen those three games, and they've been dominant performances for the most part.
Yeah, and I think the interesting part from the Wolves' perspective is you're trying to reintegrate Cat. When, you know, he went out and really they didn't miss much of a beat. And obviously, I think teams could have eventually caught up, scouted them and started to give them more problems when he missed a month-ish, a little over a month. But they're still going to have to work him in. The Suns, I think the one constant in all three of those games was the Suns did really well in Anthony Edwards. And I don't think Suns fans have probably seen, just if they watched those three games, how good he has been this season. I mean, we're talking all NBA, all defense type accolades this year. And I don't think he's hit 20 points against the Suns. So that's the most interesting part for me. And this past game, he didn't even get up the shots. So that's going to be interesting to see if they can stop him. Honestly, I would say Cat can cook from beyond the three-point line, and you live with it, and you try to stop Ant Edwards.
Kevin Zimmerman joining us in studio talking Suns basketball today. But you know, this turnaround late season by the Suns, everybody talked about this 10 games to end the year. Dave Pasch had a stat on an ESPN broadcast that not only was it the toughest this year, it's the toughest 10-game end schedule the NBA has seen in 30 years. And it wasn't smooth sailing the whole way. The three losses were all ugly in their own right. But they go 7-3 in that stretch. And Bradley Beal's got his fingerprints all over this thing, which you can't say that really about the rest of the season with Beal. I think he's picked his spots, but it hasn't been consistent. What do you see from Bradley Beal elevating himself to be a leader on this team?
I think it was just the picking of spots. I mean, you can make the argument now, maybe he's the number two, and they've looked really good when he's that. I don't want to go that far and say KD's the number three on this team, as far as offensive options and where you're looking. But if he has to be number two, that's fine. But it's when he was picking his spots of, I'm going to hustle, I'm going to get these defensive stops. And there is that room in the second quarter when Beal and Durant, or Book and Durant are out, that he can really just kind of take over the offense. So for me, I think, maybe 2 months ago we were talking about, we know what we can expect out of Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Grayson Allen, obviously, Nurk. But you were always wondering how Beal found it and if he's finding it at the right time. And it looks like he has found how to implement his role and how to do the little things that he probably never got any credit for on the Washington Wizards.
Yeah.
That's, again, a really good sign. But again, we have to see a little more of this. At least they get a seven-round series or seven-game, if it goes that long series, to get it off instead of the play. And where you obviously are pushing against odds.
His performance Friday night came with the fist pumps and the shows of emotion that obviously lit up the fan base, because they've been yearning to see that this team actually cares?
Yeah.
Your thoughts on a team that might find some level of connectivity before it's too late.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been his role, it seemed. And it was even in post-game pressers where you see him take more accountability than everyone else and show a little urgency. You know, I think there is something to be said for this team never showing outright panic, if that's what you want to call it. But he shows urgency. He shows passion. They obviously need a little bit of that. That is the big question on this team, right? It's like, do they not care? Are they over it? Is there something boiling behind the scenes? Or are they just like too even keel to have urgency? And he's the guy who I think has that urgency, who shows that in how he plays. And that's super important. We're talking about Bradley Beal, the role player kind of stuff again, but that's super important, I think.
When you look at the Suns heading in, they're healthy. They have to feel good about themselves with the way things have shaken out. But when you look at a list of concerns that you have for the Suns going into the postseason, what stands out at the top of that list?
I think you saw my tweet. I sarcastically said they need to cut the turnovers out with a game left. they should do that.
Yeah, I responded to it because I laughed out loud.
I tweeted, the Suns need to fix their turnover problems by the end of the season, and everyone pointed out to me that's one game left. They still need to do that. Yeah. That's number one. And then you see what happens when they turn teams over like the Timberwolves yesterday. I am very baffled on why that's still a thing. I still don't think it's necessarily a point guard issue. I think it's just forcing passes, not making the easy pass. Drive, kick it out if someone's in front of you. That person, trust them to make the next pass. Little stuff like that. And I don't really know what more to say than that. I think they're a good three-point shooting team when they get the spacing right. They've shown to be good enough defensively, even if you look at the season-long numbers, like, and take away the bad fourth quarters where they just, like, tank it.
But the fourth quarter issue has largely been solved in the last 30 or 35 games. And a lot of people, I mean, it was so bad before that. Yeah. The numbers still look bad, but...
Or at least, like, they've learned to cut it off, right? Yes. Like, every team in this league, especially this year, when you go look at how many blown leads there have been, like, learn to cut it off if a team goes on even an 8-10-0 run, 12-2 run. Don't let it go 20-0.
Yeah.
And that's always seemingly been fixable to me. And I think they've kind of got over, it must have been a mental hurdle or something there.
Yeah. All right, finally, your thoughts on Grayson Allen's big payday.
Hey, I don't know how much you guys talked about it. I was busy writing, but it's necessary. I mean, when you look at how this roster is constructed, it was you're paying a lot. You need to double down on paying even more. It's what, like near $80 million in taxes for 1 year on top of the salary. But that gives you one, probably the most consistent guy this year coming back. And two, worst case down the road, he's a trade chip because they have obviously some very big salaries. You can only sign vets minimums. You can't aggregate salaries under the rules. So basically he gives you a really good trade chip or a really good player. And Matt Ishbia is showing he's willing to pay to have that option.
Which, at the bottom line, it's not coming out of our pockets.
It is
it's
not.
Coming out of his.
Not my problem.
Right.
But that willingness to pay the salaries to A, compete for a championship, B, keep a core together, it's...
Says a lot.
It does.
Say
a lot. It
Gavin,
does.
Thanks so much for
stopping
by.
Thanks, Gavin. Appreciate it, guys.